Today we're going to talk about overcoming anxiety with peace. Boy, anxiety and stress are everywhere, and they're at all-time highs wherever you look. When Houston energy worker Sean Baker was laid off in 2015, she opened a new business that just shocked her and how successful it ended up being. It was a place for people who are angry, stressed out, or filled with anxiety to take out their frustrations on inanimate objects. And inside the building, there's four rooms. They're lined with thick plywood. And then she puts in these rooms old appliances, TVs, dishes, out-of-date electronics, and so on. And then every person who pays to go in the room gets a choice of four weapons. You can choose a golf club, a baseball bat, a lead pipe, or a sledgehammer. And then after they give you the proper safety equipment, you can go in that room and you can pay $25 to $50 for 5 to 15 minutes of just complete demolition to get your stress out. And she calls the company Tantrums LLC. And she was just amazed at how successful it has been for people to go in there and to take out their frustrations. She serviced mothers, businessmen, doctors, teachers, oil and gas workers, and even some therapists. And customers rave about the benefit that this session brings as they're able to smash things, enabling them to relieve their stress in a controlled environment. Baker said, "I never would have thought I would have been able to help people like this. And only in America could you open up a company, bring stuff in, let people beat it up, and make money all the while so they can relieve their stress and anxiety." But it's easy to understand maybe how something like this could take off, because we live in a time where anxiety and stress are on the rise all over our country. In fact, according to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, the very fact that we have that tells you something. But anyway, that anxiety disorders affect about 40 million adults in the United States of America. Roughly over 18% of our entire population is suffering from stress and anxiety, and it's a major factor affecting general health. In fact, those who say they struggle with anxiety and stress go to the doctor 3 to 5 times more than those in the general population. And younger children are being diagnosed with anxiety and stress. Colleges say that this is out of control and on the rise like never before. But Jesus Christ calls you and I, leads you and I, and offers you and I to live a life of peace. So in the midst of all of this anxiety and stress, Christ says, "I will give you peace." He's not going to remove us from the world, the problems of the world, but he's going to give us the strength to sustain through the problems. We've been looking in Ephesians about the armor of God, and we talked about in week one to stand. Then we talked about the need for the breastplate of righteousness. We talked last week about our loins girded about with truth. And this morning we want to talk about our feet shed with the preparation, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Paul speaks about that believers need to put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. The illustration Paul was using here was not just any shoe. These were the leather open-toed boots worn by the Roman soldiers. And they would take these and they would drive nails and pieces of metal and ceramic through the soles. They were really making what we would know today as cleats. And they were designing these cleats and making these cleats specifically for the purpose of stability when in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. And when we're battling anxiety and stress, it really is like fighting the enemy up close in hand-to-hand combat. And we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We don't want an enemy that is overtaking us while we have nothing to stand on. Rather, while we're living in this world and there's problems and there's trials and there's troubles for everybody, but it should be obvious that you and I have a certainty, that we have a faith, that we have a trust, that we have something to stand upon and helping us to hold our ground, because we have the peace that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that's reality, the enemy knows he's facing an overcomer. And we want to be an overcomer. We want to overcome anxiety with peace. Now, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be invulnerable. We're not going to be unaffected by life. We're all going to face difficulties and situations in life. But we can be strong and resolute and successful when we overcome our worry with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as that Roman soldier would stud those shoes and prepare his feet for combat as he would face his enemy. It's imperative that you and I prepare for the enemy that we're going to face in this world, and that we have the peace to anchor us to God when you and I face times of trouble and uncertainty. The Bible says in Romans 5:1 in your notes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know all the things that are happening in your life. I know several prayer requests in the room, but I want to tell you this. No matter what it is, you can have peace. You can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that Jesus Christ is offering is paid for by the blood of Christ, and it is extended to every person in this room. So if you're struggling with anxiety, if stress is troubling you, life can feel like a battle. You can come here this morning maybe kind of feeling beat up and tired and exhausted, like, man, I've just gone 10 rounds this week with stress and anxiety, and quite frankly, Brother Gabe, I'm just worn out. But God understands your worry. And because of the gospel of peace, God wants you to be an overcomer. He doesn't want you to lose in anxiety or stress, but rather He wants you to live and to love and to have hope in Him and to have the peace that only He can give. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Friend, can I remind you this morning, God sent me here this morning to tell you something. He cares for you. You're not in this thing alone. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is that's pressing down on those shoulders this morning and got you a little under it, God just wants you to know He's got you. He's got your back. He's with you. And He'll help you through this. And if you'll trust in Him, His peace can be an incredible victory to overcome the anxiety and stress of life. And Jesus often told His disciples of this peace that was available to them at any time and capable of calming their hearts, irrelevant of the storm. The Bible says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, Jesus said to His disciples. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In John 16:33, He said, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you've come in class this morning and feel like, man, Brother Rule, honestly, the world kind of had my number this week, don't worry about it. God's got the world's number. You can be an overcomer. You can be a winner with God. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God can get you through. And by the way, Jesus spoke these words to the disciples at a time where He knew He was about to be accosted and crucified. Their whole world was about to flip upside down. And He said, hey, I know what's coming, but don't worry. I got it. And you can be an overcomer if you'll just trust in the peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Eric Barker was a Christian missionary who spent 50 years preaching the gospel in Portugal in the years leading up to World War II and beyond. And what was a challenging mission field at any time was a more stressful mission environment during wartime. In fact, it got so dangerous that he was advised that he should send his family out of this area because of the danger. So on that council, he got his wife and his 8 children, his sister and her 3 children. He loaded them on a boat, and he sent those 13 people that he cherished so much over to England. And then the plan was that he would finish the missionary work there in Portugal and that he would join them as soon as he could. Well, the Sunday after his family's departure was a Sunday like most, except that right before the morning service, he received a telegram, and he shared it with his congregation, and he said to his congregation, I have just received word that all my family have arrived safely home. The congregation breathed a sigh of relief, and the service continued. It wasn't until later that he fully explained the meaning of the telegram that he received. You see, safely home did not mean that they had made it safely to England. Just before the service, Barker found that a German U-boat had torpedoed the ship that his family was on, and that nobody had survived. His wife, their 8 children, his sister, and their 3 children were all lost. But Barker knew exactly where they were, and indeed, they were safely home with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, the world looks at believers who are carrying such heavy loads, and they're watching how you and I respond when life treats us this way, or when we face times of difficulty, and they're wondering how we can do it. How does a man stand up and say, at the loss of his wife and his 8 children, his sister and her 3 children, they're safely home? Where does that kind of peace come from? It comes from God. Notice what the Bible says in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is it possible to find peace when you're really going through a dangerous or difficult time? Yes, it is. And God wants you to be assured of that this morning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and a theologian, and he was in prison in a Nazi Germany camp for his resistance to Hitler. And during the 2 years of his imprisonment, he spent much time ministering to the fellow prisoners and wrote many letters to family and friends. In fact, they got all of those and they put them into a publication entitled Letters and Papers from Prison. And it revealed a man who, amidst all the adversity, was living in peace and was sustained by prayer and devoted to the Word of God and confident that God would see him through. And as Bonhoeffer was suffering these 2 years, it finally came to a conclusion in April of 1945 when he was hanged. Well, an English military officer who was imprisoned with the pastor at the same time wrote this about him. Bonhoeffer was all humility and sweetness. He always seemed to diffuse an atmosphere of happiness, of joy in every smallest event in life, and of deep gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. He was one of the very few men that I have ever met to whom his God was real and close to him. When you and I are close to God and he is real to us, it doesn't really matter what we face because God can see us through that. And we see that over and over again in society and culture and in the Word of God as well. Now, peace is not the removal of any trouble in our life. If you're here this morning thinking, I know how you overcome anxiety with peace, you just don't have any problems. That's not true. We're all going to have problems. The Word of God teaches us that. But rather, it is a way to live joyfully and worry-free despite the trouble that you and I will face. And God has a plan for this. In Philippians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 6 has some great strategies that will help you and I overcome anxiety with peace. And to know that, we're going to look at the how, what, who, where, and when of overcoming anxiety with peace. So notice with me, number one, how are you praying? This is the first question we want to ask. You know what the most highlighted verses in the Word of God are? Well, according to Amazon's Kindle, they're Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In this passage, God is challenging you and I. The word careful there literally means when you're pulled in two different directions. So God is saying, hey, when you feel like your life is getting pulled in two different directions, when you feel like, I don't know what to do anymore, God says, I can give you peace for that. I can take care of you. One author said, if it is big enough to worry about, it is big enough to pray about. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. I like that. Mark Patterson said, think of worry as a prayer alarm. Every time it goes off, you put it to prayer. Now, when we're facing anxiety and stress and we should pray, how should we pray? Two thoughts. Letter A, we should pray progressively. A, we should pray a progressive prayer. What does that mean? Well, often when we're under pressure, our tendency is to rush into God's presence and tell him all the stuff we need. Sometimes we don't even have time to say hello. We just get right into the laundry list of all the things we're facing, all the things we need, all the trials and troubles around us. And that's what it boils down to. But our prayer time should really be an expression of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, rushing into his presence and getting right to the needs that we have takes our focus off of him and puts them on our problems. Have you ever been talking to God about all of your problems and found yourself more worried and overwhelmed when you were done than when you started? And thought to yourself, how do I feel this way after prayer? I thought prayer was like supposed to make me feel better. How do I feel worse? But friend, when you and I go into a time of prayer and all we do is talk about our problems, because that's where our focus is, we miss the whole point of who we're talking to. And it's important to pray a progressive prayer. In other words, I'm not going to get to the time of my problems or needs until I have spent time worshiping God, until I've spent time just hallowing his name. You see the acrostic there of the word acts. Spend time adoring God, then confessing sin, then expressing gratitude and thanksgiving to him, then making known our supplication. Yes, God, I have needs. I've got trials. I've got trouble. Stuff isn't going the way that I thought it would. But it only works when there's a time of praise and adoration for Him. Why? Because when we don't have that, we get off. We get a distorted view. I can take a dime-sized pebble, but if I hold it right here up to my eye, I can miss the mountain in front of me. And friend, if we're not careful, and all we look at is our problems, our trials, and our troubles, we're going to be full of anxiety and stress because that's all we see. But if we can step back and put life in proper perspective and spend time worshiping God for who He is, when we get a fresh perspective of how amazing God is, it'll give us a fresh perspective of the problems we have. Because while they're big and they hurt, they're nothing for God. God can take care of them. So we need to pray progressively. Take time to worship God. But secondly, let it be a proactive prayer. Now, prayer is meant to be both preventative and proactive. Usually we treat prayer as remedial. We've got a problem. We've got a crisis. Boy, let's get right to prayer. But Luke 18:1 says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And so proactive prayer is learning to pray in advance of hardship. It's asking for strength for challenges we're going to face that we don't even know about yet. But Lord, when something comes into my life that's adversarial and I don't necessarily want it, help me, prepare me to react in the way that You would have me to do. The Lord teaches us this about temptation. Notice it in Matthew 6:13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We don't want to spend time praying, "Lord, help me with temptation," when I'm facing it right then and there. We want to pray in advance. And so we should when it comes to trials and troubles in life. "Lord, when I have a tendency to get stressed and full of anxiety today, help me not to do that." Because I have a tendency to do that. So I don't know when it's going to happen today. I don't know why it's going to happen today. But when it does, help me to respond as I should. Hugh Carnes was a Lord Chancellor of the United Kingdom from 1874 to 1880. And each day in his office, his schedule was packed with meetings, countless decisions to be made. And Lord Carnes put in his journal that if he had accomplished anything in the world, he would attribute it to the fact that the first 2 hours of every day of his life for many years had been given to communion with God in secret prayer and in the study of the Word of God. Carnes said, "Do you suppose I come to a cabinet meeting without first having talked it through with God? And may you and I be careful that we don't live one single day that we've not first talked through with God." We're going to face a lot of things in a day, decisions to be made, things to get done, and so on. Let's talk it through with God first. For him, prayer was not a last resort. It was his first priority, and so it should be with us. So how are we praying? Number two, what are you thinking? Philippians goes on in verse 8, "Finally, my brethren, what sort of things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Our thought life greatly affects how we feel when it comes to stress and anxiety. And our thought life should be positive. It should be uplifting. It should be redemptive. Our thought life is the launching pad of how we live our life. What's in here is going to come out. So we have to be careful. What are we thinking about? And can I remind all of us this morning? We are the guardians of our minds. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Sometimes we look at our life and we say, "I don't like the way things are going, or the way I feel, or the way I'm responding to this." But friend, a lot of times that outflow is a result of what's coming into the mind. We've got to guard our minds. I like the way this author put it. I think you've got this in your notes. You probably know this, but in case you don't, I'm thrilled to give you the good news. You can pick what you ponder. You don't select your birthplace or birth date. You didn't choose your parents or siblings. You don't determine the weather or the amount of salt in the ocean. There are many things in life of which you have no choice, but the greatest activity of life is well within your dominion. You can choose what you think about. You can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You occupy the control tower, and you can direct the mental traffic of your world. Thought circle above, coming and going. If one of them lands, it is because you gave it permission. If it leaves, it is because you directed it to do so. You can select your thought pattern, and it turns out that our most valuable weapon against anxiety weighs less than 3 pounds and sits between our ears. So think what you think about. And class, may you and I be careful this week to think what we think about. Be careful. Guard our minds. Let's not let our minds feast on things that are going to lead to stress and anxiety. The Bible says, cast down evil imaginations. The story is told of a man who was on a long flight, kind of like I was on last night, and the captain came on the speakers and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. I'm asking the flight attendants to take their seats. We're going to suspend beverage service because we are about to hit some turbulence." Well, terrible turbulence they got indeed. Within minutes, the plane was trembling. The quaking from the storm, cracks of thunder could be heard above the engines. Lightning lit up the dark skies and the plane jolted back and forth. One moment it was up in the air. The next moment it was dropping as if it were to crash. And the man was terrified. Everyone around him was terrified. In fact, only one person seemed perfectly calm. And out of his peripheral, he could see one little girl with her feet tucked up beneath her. And she was there reading a book. And at moments she appeared to close her eyes and even take a nap. He was amazed by this response. And gradually, the plane got through the storm and finally flew peaceably to the destination. Before he disembarked, he had to know how this girl was not so shaken and worried by what had taken place. And he said, "If you don't mind me asking, why were you not more worried when we were in the midst of that terrible storm?" She looked at the man and she said, "Well, because my daddy's the pilot, and he said he would take me home." And friend, can I encourage you this morning, in the midst of the storms of your life, look at the one who is in control, the Almighty God. If we're not careful, we so look at the storm, we forget the God of the storm. Look at God and He will see you through Isaiah. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Our trust needs to be in the Lord. What are we thinking about? We want to be thinking about God. Thirdly, who are we following? Who are you following? Now, to overcome anxiety, we've got to think about what's right. We've got to do what's right. But often we need someone to show us what is right. The Bible says in Philippians 4:9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." And I just want to challenge you this morning, if you are battling with anxiety and stress, surround yourself with people who have learned to trust in God. You don't want to be surrounded by people that, you know, they're running to the medicine cabinet, or they're running to this blog, or they're running to this thing. You want to surround yourself with people that are rooted and grounded in God and in His Word. They've been through some battles. They've got some scars. They could tell some stories, but God got them through. And they've got an incredible, undeniable, stable faith and trust in God that you and I both need. Let's surround ourselves with people like that. Sometimes when we're walking away from anxiety and stress, God wants us to walk alone because He's going to walk with us. But sometimes we need a friend or a mentor or somebody to take us by the hand. And we want to make sure that it is someone who has learned to put their faith and trust in God when life is overwhelming. So who are we following? Fourthly, where are you living? Where are you living? Where do your thoughts reside? And there's really three answers. It's either the past, the present, or the future. And now we flip to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take the thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now listen, the Lord is telling you and I, focus on today. Why? Well, because the past is a mere memory, the future is an imagination, but the present is the true reality in which we live. And we have to consider, where are we living? God wants you and I to trust Him one day at a time. The Bible says in Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread." When we think about the Word of God, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not going to illuminate 5 years down the road for me, but it's going to get me through today. It's going to guide me for today. That's the idea of the Christian life. It's one day at a time. And God wants you and I to have perfect peace every single day. God wants you and I to trust Him every single day, and we will not sink under the burden if it is a daily burden. But the problem is, sometimes in a given day, we take on the problems of yesterday, we take on the problems we anticipate for tomorrow, and then we go underwater. Anxiety and stress come when the future makes us more anxious in the present. But Jesus said, don't dwell on the future. Just live today. Deuteronomy 33:25, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." God will give you what you need today, so trust Him. Don't worry about what's in the past. God will take care of that. Well, I don't know what's going to come in the future. Don't worry about it. God can take care of that too. Just trust Him day by day. Where are you living? Daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then lastly, number five, when will you find peace? Okay, Brother Rolf, I do everything you're talking about and pray and spend time in God's Word and think on the right things and have the right friends and influences and try not to worry about the past and the future and just focus on today. When am I going to break through this issue with stress and anxiety in my life? Well, perhaps you remember the graphic photo of the napalm girl from the Vietnam War. It's a painful picture to see. It's a naked 9-year-old running down a dirty street, arms flapping, face twisted in horror. Other children are running with her, and behind them, the billowing clouds of the napalm wafting through and burning their skin. The girl's name is Kim Phuc. The photographer who took the photo is Nick Ut. When he took it, immediately he put down his camera, which he had grabbed instinctively. He picked up Kim and transported her to the hospital, literally saving her life. Kim endured decades of suffering. For many years, she prayed to the gods of their religion for help, and no answers came. Her dream was to be a doctor. She enrolled into school for that, but the world knew her in a different way. In fact, her government forced her to leave school and to be available to go on tours and to talk about the ills of the Western world. Devastated, desperate, seeking answers, she went to a library and began to go through Vietnamese books of religion. In the stack that she pulled off the shelf was a New Testament. After thumbing through several books of religion of her own culture, she got to the New Testament and she began to read. She was gripped by the suffering of Jesus Christ as He bore the sins of the world. Shortly afterwards, on Christmas Eve in 1982, Kim gave her life to Jesus Christ at a church service. The message that day was about the Prince of Peace. Kim said, "How desperately I needed peace, how ready I was for love and joy. I had so much hatred in my heart, so much pain and bitterness, I wanted to let it all go." So when the pastor finished preaching, she stood up, went to the aisle, she made her way to the front of the auditorium, and she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. She said, there in that small church in Vietnam, just mere miles from the street where my journey had begun amidst the chaos of war, and on the night before the world would celebrate the birth of the Messiah, I invited Jesus into my heart. When I woke up that Christmas morning, I experienced the kind of healing that only can come from God. Here's what she said. I was finally at peace. Now, many years later, Kim married and immigrated to Canada. She reconnected with that photographer who she calls Uncle Nick. Her purpose was to bring healing to others through the love and peace of Jesus Christ. Most remarkably, and Kim's been here and given her testimony, is the fact that she forgave everyone who had ever harmed her. She rose above the physical and emotional scars and made a choice to embrace the hope of salvation through forgiveness. She understood that unless she could forgive, she would never go closer to the Lord and she would never be able to bring others to Christ. So when will you and I find the peace that only comes through God? When you and I prioritize the how, what, who, and where of the peace that He offers through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word. The Bible said, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Friend, God wants you and I to be an overcomer. And He wants us to overcome anxiety with peace. And let's implement these truths today to help you and I overcome the trials and troubles of this world, focusing on God and who He is, and living a life of peace that passeth all understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, this morning for some time in Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help all of us in our class to be an overcomer. And this week, as we think about overcoming anxiety with peace, boy, there's a lot of problems in the world today, but You have overcome every one of them. And so, Lord, may we focus on You. May we put these truths to practice, and may we experience peace that passeth all understanding this week. And we'll praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.